All right. Today is Sunday, February 6, 2022. And Baruch Hashem, we're alive and kicking. And as it is said, the Lebedika Dafkein Vaita. We're for alive. We have to keep on producing and doing and not to let old age overtake us. Some of my students here are not that much younger than I am. I want to dedicate today's shiur in memory of a Talmud. It's Tzvi or Harry Grinstein. He was a BMT boy in the early years of BMT. Lovely, lovely young man. I understand his father had a grocery store, Shemesh Shabbos. And, it's the history of what BMT did. He came for that half year and changed his whole life. He later came in Aliyah and made his contributions here to the State of Israel, and he was the one of the administrators of the Herzog Hospital and the Eileen Hospital, and his son is also my Talmud, raised wonderful children here, among them Rabbi Yehoshua Grinstein, who we've interacted so many times in Shir. And it's about 2 years now since Tzvi passed on, and I want to dedicate this year to his memory, and I hope it brings some good feeling, support, memory to his wife and children, Alat Mata Kodesh, Yehei Zichro Baruch. Okay, I want to move further and some corrections or additional information. We were speaking in either Sunday or the Monday class about JFK, and I mentioned that I believe the airport originally had a different name, and I want to thank the Lipsons in Toronto, Idlewild Airport. Remember it? Idlewild.
That, Khrushchev Stew in Idlewild.
So there's a song about it too. And I also want to quote Rabbi Grinstein, who I just mentioned, in relation to Tzohar's Kashrut, they do the following, that leafy vegetables, they buy only Gush Katif. Regular vegetables, they'll buy from regular produce, but the mashgiach has to come, clean and check it, and only then can they use it. All right, I believe that's a good situation and a good policy. Now, I also want to correct myself. Working from memory, I was talking about Rabbi Gorelick, Rabbi Moshe Gorelick, who passed away the last 2 weeks. And I mentioned the fact that the Rav wrote a famous letter to him, which appears in Community Covenant and Commitment, edited by my Talmud Nathaniel Helfgott, published by the Torah Harav Foundation, beginning on page 157. And I thought that Rabbi Gorelick was in Connecticut, and Rabbi Wiener corrected me and said Massachusetts, and he was correct. It was from 1968. Five congregation at Dot Israel, an Orthodox synagogue in Fall River, Massachusetts. And they entered into negotiations to purchase the capital stock of the United States Record Corporation. There must have been a balabas who was involved, and he was selling it to them, and they would have profit, and ultimately within a few years it would cover the whole purchase price and be constant profit. And the problem was that this corporation or company worked on Shabbat. And the Rav was very much opposed. He said, on one hand, they will have a tax exemption owned by a shul. It would indeed be immoral for a congregation to take advantage of the tax exemption granted to a religious group and at the same time fail to live up to its religious commitment to the Sabbath law. So if you want to see all the facts, it's in that volume, and Rabbi Gorelick ultimately opposed it, listened to the Rav, and did as the Rav told him. And as I mentioned last week, he had to leave the shul. The Balabatam thought otherwise, which is also what happens in the rabbinate. I want to also cite a letter from another student, the son of a student, Michael Steinhardt, the son of a Talmud of mine out of the 60s, Carl Steinhardt. I used to call him Carlos because he had a dark complexion. He looked like a Puerto Rican, and then the Puerto Ricans were all over, taking over New York City. And I used to call him Carlos. And then he married Pearl, and Pearl became Pearlos. And this is, he signs it, how do you pronounce Michael in Spanish? Miguel? How would that be? How do you pronounce it? Miguel. Miguel Steinhardt. So, Kanayin Hara. Anyway, he speaks about something we raised in class with the silk screen and putting a plastic over the Sefer Torah with Nekudat. And in his letter, I see that he's more inclined to feel that the silk screen was possible for economic reasons, that it would have stopped a lot of panasa for people involved in the world of sofrut. Well, I don't know. I think that the fact there is a certain mesorah, a certain feeling, say for Torah we don't play games with, and we're going to continue to read it the way it was read throughout the generations. But it could also be that there was this economic consideration involved as well. Mikhail also writes about the zilzul towards the Haftorah, that in Chassidic shuls the people read it in unison, and outside of Megillat Esther, any other Megillah, they just the Gabbai announce it's time to read Kohelet or time to read Shir Shirim, the people quickly daven it up privately. Well, I can say in Israel, everyone, you know, it's not read by the Kehillah, it's read by the Baal Koreh and Maishul, their Makpit, to read from a klaf, it's Minig Hagra, or Horifka, but even in shuls where they're not Makpit to read from a klaf, I didn't see here that the Kahal should read, and it's not done as it was done throughout the millennium. But interesting that there is a bit of a zilzul. He also mentions the Kiddush clubs, which also knocks out a great deal of the Haftorahs. I've saw that with my own eyes in America, in Canada. Suddenly, key people disappear and they resurface right before Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. Regarding Sakma and Rabbeinu Tamshita, again, Jack asks that, what did the Chassidim do privately? I can't answer. I never did a statistical survey, but my own guess is that there are Chassidim privately who are not makpid lekabel Shabbat in Borough Park 18 minutes before Shkia, and they're Samach on Rabbeinu Tam. Why do I say that? Because I always noticed there were some people coming to shul Kabbalat Shabbat quite late, and the only way I could understand why they're coming that late was that they were Samach on Rabbeinu Tam. So it's a question that would be interesting to research, but I don't know whether research can be done. As far as the story that Rabbi Menashe Klein tells, that Hitler came in because they started insisting that the poor people have to get certification, so Jack asked on this little incident, Hitler came in. So I told the story with Rav Shmulevitz, a powerful story, which I heard Bishat Ma'asa, where he said because of that woman, that Aguna, who said she forgives her husband for 20 years of torture, and as a result, Yerushalayim was saved, Mir Yeshiva was saved, Mir was right on the border. If you know where the border was, it was just a block and a half away from Mir, more or less. So a Talmud listening, Naftali Schnell, tells me a beautiful story that he heard the story. My Zayd, the Rebbe Fol Green, who learned in post-war Mir, said he heard from Avraham Kamenevich that the Chafetz Chaim heard there were a group of barbers who remained open on Shabbat. He asked Rav Kalmanovich to speak to them, to stop being Mechallel Shabbos, barbers, Chilul Shabbos of that nature, Parhesia. And Rav Kalmanovich asked the barbers, how is it possible for a person to be over on Chilul Shabbat in accordance with the amount of hairs on a person's head? And he told them, by giving a haircut on Shabbat, every hair you cut off your Mechallel Shabbos deoraita. And the barbers listened with Makabel and stopped working on Shabbat. Later there was a woman in labor whose life was in danger. The Chafetz Chaim approached Rav Kalmanovich and said, I now want you to cash in on your schut of Shmirat Shabbat to save this Yoledet's life. And he prayed for her and asked Ribbono Shel Olam to remember what he did with the barbers, and the life was saved. And he ends off, so who knows the cheshbonet of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I think that's correct. We don't know the cheshbonet. And that's why I'll accept every story. I also understand it's a bit quixotic. You mean to say that as a result of... It's a bit quixotic that as a result of one little deed, it has such implications, but Ribbono Shel Olam, it could very well be. Hold on for 1 second. It's on?
It's gone.
What's gone?
Power and the sound system.
Power is gone. All right, and 1 second, the Zoom turned off too.
Ah, that's probably why.
What can you do?
It's probably related to the...
Why do we have these
problems? The air conditioning system, and over there, like the last time...
They're playing with it now? Okay, get see if you can get the Zoom back on.
Can you hotspot?
Yeah, but will it work automatically?
Yes. You've done it before, right?
I'm not sure if we did. You might have done with my phone.
What are you doing?
We're gonna go through Mark's phone.
Okay, I turned it on.
I mean, this is so unfair.
I don't know if you need my password.
We'll see. 1 second. What's the name of the Cruise 2021? What's the name of your
iPhone 10?
Doesn't see it.
Here, Mark's. No, it's Moshe's.
Is that your phone?
You might shut off the Wi-Fi and turn it back on again.
Now there it is.
Reset the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Is there? Let me go out and see if.
Do you have internet now?
I have my data. Excuse my.
Okay, great. So now we're ready.
You ready?
Yes.
I want to...
Is that strong enough to make me reset my phone?
It looks strong.
Test on another thing to see if you got the internet. Open another thing.
If you get them, tell them I'll be... Let me just see if they're working. I'm going to...
It's unfair that they should...
Okay, the power is back on.
What did you say?
The power is back on.
It's back on?
Yes. No, there's no internet. There's no internet. No, but we have internet. We have internet.
Recording in progress.
Rebecca had stepped out for a second.
Can you hear me, Jack? You can hear me shake your
head? We can hear and see you.
Okay, I can tell you what the problem is in a second. It's a good thing I checked. Now I know what the problem is. And I have an idea. We have to tape up the... The share continues? Are you muting? What's going on?
Yeah, but Rebecca can continue.
I can continue?
Yes.
Okay. The problem goes back 50, it goes back to 1973-74. When this building was built, a decision was made not to put in air conditioning, because at that time in Israel, it was unheard of. I still remember teaching in Michlala that the girls were all wearing coats and hats like I walked in today. And we lived on a different level. Today Israel is very wealthy, and every house being built has heating and air conditioning and all that goes with it. This building, they put in air conditioning much later, heating air conditioning units, and it never works properly. And what's happened now is right in the alcove where my offices and the Torah Trago offices are, if you turn the air conditioning on, you blow the fuse. So I blew the fuse at 6 o'clock this morning, and Yomo taught me what fuse. I went out and I got it back on. They just blew the fuse now. That's why we had no electricity, etc. I apologize to all the people listening around the world. It's Chilul Kvod Yeshiva University, but we have to live with it. All right, let me just pick up where I left off. Let's come back now to Rav Moshe. We're dealing here with the problem of people coming around collecting, and they're bothering the locals, and as I've told you more than once already, I've been in the United States, I've been in Canada, I've been in South Africa, I've been in Australia, all on a Sunday morning. The only place they didn't bother me when I was in Russia. In the Soviet Union, no one came around collecting on Sunday morning, to put it mildly. The committees, the shuls, the communities came up with the idea of checking out who these people are and if they're legitimate, giving them the right to collect. Reb Menashe Klein was very much opposed. He felt it's embarrassing them, and how can a Jew do this? We have to give a person the Cheskat Kashrut, and if he's collecting, and then they went into the whole question of federations. If you have a communal federation or a communal committee, call it what you wish, and they're giving out staka, do we still have to give as individuals? And can we say to these people, stop going around and bothering people on Sunday morning? The Federation is going to give you tzedakah. And there too, Reb Menashe Klein and Reb Moshe Feinstein and Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg all gave the same answer, that you can have a federation from today to tomorrow. If a person wishes to collect, you can't stop him. And both the federation and the individuals are obligated to give tzedakah. And obviously, you can balance it out. If there's a federation, then if they're giving heavy tzedakah, then you as the individual can give a lot less. If on the other hand, there is no federation, then the individual, when he knocks on your door, you're answering, you should give more. And this is the tshuva, and everyone agrees, there's no machlokes. And then Reb Moshe goes a little bit further. And suddenly, and I'm now quoting from Yoredeya, first time Reb Moshe deals with it, Siman Kuf Mem Tet, I'm quoting from page Resh Tzadi Chet, the second column, right towards the bottom. And suddenly Reb Moshe says that all this is in relation to federations, but we have to be sure that the Gabayim Ayirei Hashem Sheyesh Chiyav Lasot Federation Shehu Kupat Shel Tzedakah. And he says we have to be sure that the people running the federation are Yirei Hashem, Yirei V'Shleimim, and they know what their responsibilities are, and they can't stop individuals for going around. They give, and let them, if they want, even though we want to make it easier for them and more respectable and giving them from a central organization, but if they want to go around and collect, allow them. All right. Now, what do we mean by this? That we want to be sure that the Gabayim are Yirei Hashem, Yireim V'Shleimim. And here Reb Moshe touches upon a problem that haunts us till this very second, and haunts Aaron Rakefet after the shiur this morning as well. Natan, the first thing I will do after the shiur is go further on this problem. And what is the problem? You have a federation. None of you work here, right? I'm the only one in the room who works here right now. I pay taxes. You pay taxes to the state of Israel? This new government, if I recall correctly, is giving $2 million or $2 million in shekel to the reform movement, right or wrong. Kariv, you have a reform rabbi in the Knesset. He goes to the Kotel with the women of the wall, Rosh Chodesh. I'm paying taxes. I'm giving money. Ribbono Shel Olam, you people, Natan, did you buy anything lately? Everything you buy, what is it, 17% Mas Erech Musaf? You're supporting an educational system that teaches there is no God. There are no Jewish people. There is no Torah. There should not be a Jewish state. It's a state of its citizens. Ribbono Shel Olam, an education, no Shabbat, no Kashrut, no Tarat Mishpacha. Parents, you don't have parents. Parent one, parent two, Chas v'Chalila, not man, woman. You people are supporting. Now, this is a very serious question. And I can tell you history. I think I mentioned this over the decades, but now it's halacha lemaisa. I had a very wonderful friend. He was older, but he sought me out. We came in Aliyah at the same time, 69. Reuben Gross of Staten Island. If you don't know the name, make believe you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Ruby Gross built whatever Yiddishkeit there is in Staten Island today, it began with the Gross family. And when he came in Aliyah, he gave his home for the Staten Island Yeshiva, the branch of MTJ where Reuven Feinstein is Rosh Yeshiva. It began in the Gross home. Later that it expanded, grew bigger, they had to build their own building. But it began in his home, and on his home in Israel, he had a beautiful letter from Reb Moshe thanking him for making his home available. So Ruby Gross was a lawyer, and in Israel, the radio went 24/7. But there was no television, and there was a status quo. Whatever Chilul Shabbos publicly there was before 48, 49 continued, buses in Haifa, let's say. Beyond that, you couldn't innovate Chilul Shabbos. So then television came to Israel, 68, 69, we came, so very primitive. And about 1970, they decided, the people were yelling and screaming, we want television on Friday night, the one night we don't have to go to work the next morning. Otherwise, Sunday, Mark commented, he's not used to, I forgot already that there's a Sunday in the world. When 53 years ago, we used to say, my generation of Olim who remained here, we used to say there are two Mondays in Israel, Monday 1 and Monday 2. Mark reminded me, who knows, Sunday you don't work? What do we go to? What do we go to church? What's going on? I've been in Shtiblach where suddenly on Easter and Christmas, the minyan is an hour late. I said, you're old now. I understand the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the book. Kol hadar b'chutz laretz kilu ovei davay dezarek. Shuto kamashmao. So, all right. They want to cover. So they went to the Supreme Court. And, of course, the Supreme Court ruled that television's like radio. Radio was on before. And they would, I'll never forget this, it was a shock, what, dancing in the streets of Tel Aviv, that there'll be television Friday night. Ruby Gross refused to pay, there was a tax for television. It was abolished a number of years ago. You had a tax, if you had a television, you had to pay a tax. He refused, he paid 6/7 of the tax. He didn't want to pay for it. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled against him, but the publicity was worth. He had, you know, he was his own lawyer. It cost him money. Obviously, you have to pay a fee to go to court, Supreme Court. But it was worth it to get the publicity that here is a Jew who doesn't want to contribute to Chilul Shabbos per Parchesia. Wow, does this raise you? And you got to see this in Reb Moshe, that giving to the Federation where they support Jewish education in reformed temples and conservative temples where the kids are taught they can be Mechallel Shabbos, they can drive to shul, there's no problem, they can eat fish in treif restaurants. God have mercy, what kids are taught today, Boel Bilata Surat, men, women, women, I have to go into details, you all live in the world, know what's going on. How can you contribute money? And Rav Moshe says that when you give to a Jewish cause like this, it is worse than giving to Gentiles to build a church. You give to a Jewish cause that's mesit umedia, Reb Moshe says, and you give to a church, what's the problem? That will be oveid avodah zarah? No, are they really oveid avodah zarah? A Protestant church, a Methodist church, a Baptist church? Problem with the Catholics is much more real, because they're really statues, getchkes. That is a lot more real. But the Protestants, the non-Catholics, all right, they believe in Trinity. Is Trinity forbidden for a Gentile? It's a homachlokes rishonim. Sugya in Sanhedrin. Shilush, it's called in Hebrew. Trinity. But, all right, we're not encouraging Trinity. We're not encouraging Avodah Zarah. But, Mesis Umediach, you take Jewish children and you teach them no Shabbat, no Kashrut, no Tarat Mishpacha, no halacha, just so-called ethics, morals, progressivism. Well, I don't have to tell you what the world is about. And Reb Moshe says, how can we contribute to the Federation? And here Reb Moshe adds, if our contributing to the Federation, for the sake of argument, the Orthodox Jews give 30% of the funding that the Federation receives. If they get back 30% or more, then you're allowed. You're getting back your money's worth. But if you contribute 30% and you only get back 15%, you're giving away 15% to Avodah Zarah against Yiddishkeit, Mesit, Mediach, etc. All right. The problem Reb Moshe raises here is the problem we live with and suffer. What is our relationship to Reform and Conservative? How are we supposed to act towards them? Mechalel Shabbos. Today, it's a lot worse than Chilul Shabbos. Total assimilation. Total intermarriage. I don't have to tell you what the statistics are. I don't have to tell you any family that's been in America 100 years, 150 years. Look at your family. Look what became of it. Look at my grandparents coming over to America 122 years ago. Four teenagers. And what kind of homes did they come from? All right, my father's parents were never Mechalel Shabbos. I have to say, the credit to my grandmother was a tzaddeket. Everyone recalls her with awe. All right. What about their descendants? What about their descendants? In my family, you have tzaddikim, kedoshim, lamdanim, Alad Matakodesh, hundreds of direct descendants already Kanayin Hara. On the other hand, we have Catholics in the family too, all from the same grandparents. God have mercy. All right, I have to be honest. They have no religion. In other words, my brother's in touch with them. But today, no one has religion. No one believes in God. So just as you don't believe in Judaism, you don't believe in Catholicism. I understand. No one believes. It's over. Europe, America, where do you find people who have any belief that God is wiping out the world? There are reasons why he's so angry. Okay, it's a real problem. The other grandparents, my grandmother was related to Reb Dov Revel. We're only sitting here because of Rabbi Revel. Think for a second. My grandfather studied in the Lashon. He could quote Gemaras by heart. Was there Yiddishkeit? What remains? Yeah, one branch of the family, six children, and my mother was her family. Wow. The rest, what is that? Similar. And today, the intermarriage, the statistics are unbelievable. Where there's no Shmirat Shabbat, you're hitting 80% intermarriage. And I may be underestimating the case. You all know that, the ambassador to Israel. A Jew, that's a Jew, his kids are goyim. We can go on and on. And what Reb Moshe is touching upon, how do we relate to the Reform and Conservative? I need not tell you, this problem began in Germany in the 1860s, the 1870s. Torah was building up again. Reb Shimshon Frohl Hirsch came along and caused a revolution. And in 1876, the German parliament passed the Austritt Law. We've spoken about it in great depth over the decades, over the generations of teaching. Austritt, to walk out. In Germany, all the schools, all the churches were part of the communal setup, and you got money from the government. You paid taxes, and you got back some of it. They supported hospitals, education, and temples, and synagogues, and churches. And are you allowed to be in a general community with reform? And what did Rapier say? Absolutely not. And the Prussian parliament passed a law in honor of Rav Hirsch that a Jewish community can have more than one. Austritt, you can leave the general Gemeinde and be your own Orthodox community. The Bamberger Rav, the Würzburger Rav, Rav Yitzchak Dov Bamberger, Rav Seligman Bamberger, opposed Rav Hirsch, that as long as the general community takes care of you, you have to be part of it. The Nesiv's famous tshuva against Austritt. That which unites us is much more important than that which divides us. And this is a delicate question. Where do we draw the line? And to give you an example, Limud. Limud began, this is something before Corona, now already it's a little bit more difficult, but Limud, all over the world, Russia, England, parts of the United States, Limud, for the sake of argument, there'd be Limud at Grus. So here, Limud, in this room, an Orthodox rabbi is teaching. The next room, a conservative rabbi. The next room, a reform rabbi. What is the message you're giving? Pluralism. Pay your nickel and take your choice. On the other hand, look, it's beautiful. People are learning. They're talking about Yiddishkeit. People can choose to come to hear the Orthodox rabbi. Where do you draw the line? And right now, if you saw Saturday, Friday's Jerusalem Post, no, you saw it or not, people were furious. People, and I have to suffer because I know all these people. They were my classmates. Rabbi Rishkin had an article, build a reformed temple at the Kotel. Why are we opposed to it? Why are we opposed? Where do you draw the line? I just wrote a letter out. We'll see if they'll publish it. Take issue with them. This time I'm going public. Until now, people said to me, you criticize Rabbi Hartman, you criticize Rabbi Greenberg. Rabbi Rishkin, you never open your mouth. I say, because I remember, Zachati Lachesed Nurayach, I remember Rabbi Rishkin in the 60s, the revolution he caused. Someone would have told me then that Rabbi Rishkin was going to pen a letter to have a reformed temple at the Kotel, I would have thrown him out of the class. What, are you crazy? How dare you speak that way, you rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, tainted, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, repetitious individual. Today, the year, what's it, 2023 today? Wow. Please, you don't open your mouth without thinking, Esa hu chacham haro'et hanolad. One year from now, think if you were to say, what the results will be. Natan, what year is it? 2023. Okay. Gentlemen, where do we draw the line? Rav Moshe drops an atom bomb here. There's no black and white answer. And Jack, this also is to answer your question. You still can't make your peace that the Sachmer Rav has his opinion and he states it loud and clearly. Is it gaiva? I don't know. Am I a Baal gaiva that I'm daring to differ with Rabbi Rishkin? But I feel strongly, it's my opinion. I think I've been learning Torah for 84 years now, teaching Torah for 62, writing Torah every day. I write a little bit more. I'm not entitled to an opinion, you understand? The Sachmer Rav, I don't know if he's a Baal gaiva, he had an opinion, and he thought he has it right, and this is the tzibur, and this is he's not a Purishman at tzibur. The millions that don't follow Sachmer are Purishman at tzibur. But that Sachmer, And any rav who opens his mouth, I don't know if it's gaiva, it's just conviction that he is right. Listen, there was a lot with Rav Shach, I don't have to tell you. His detractors all said that he's too self-centered and he thinks he knows it all. But Rav Shach, he really believed that there's the Mesorah and the Litvish world and sort of a monopoly on truth. All right, Rav Kefet is far from that viewpoint, as you know. Much more open and much more understanding. There's pluralism within the Torah world, I'll put it that way. But where do we draw the line? On the other hand, if a Reform rabbi walks into this classroom or a conservative rabbi, am I going to spit in his face? Am I going to throw him out? I mean, and what? I'm questioning Rabbi Lamb did teach at Limud, and his attitude was, if I have a chance to teach Torah and people will choose to hear me, I shouldn't do it. But it's a very delicate question. Where do you draw the line? As anyone who knows the Rav and the Rav's thinking, the Rav's position is the most difficult position of all because it's living with a total dialectical tension. On one hand, the Rav felt we should be part of Federation, we should be together. On the other hand, he was opposed to any dialogue with Reform and Conservative on religious matters. There, we have a different approach. We are committed na'aseh v'nishma. How can we talk with a Reform or Conservative who can take halacha and toss it away and compromise and revoke it and revamp it, etc., etc.? The Rav's position, the dialectical tension, and I think this is the... I humbly think it's the only way to go. We got to remember, we must keep communications open with Reform and Conservative. They're Jews, at least most of them are Jews. We are reaching a point where the average non-religious Jew in America is probably about 50% are not Jewish, 60%, lower leinu. I've had cases, Rabbi Schechter told me, every year they have a number of conversions in the Smicha program in America, in YU, kids, Balei Tshuva, what the NCSY has done. But we must keep the channels of communication open. On the other hand, to dance with them that you can build an Orthodox shul, the conservative temple, the reform temple in front of the Kotel, wow, that's taking Yiddishkeit and just dismissing it. And worse than anything, is the Kotel is the very place where separate seating was institutionalized. The Gemara, it's an open Mishnah, an open Gemara, Sukkot, Daf Nun Aleph, look at it, you'll see, Tikkun Gadol, and at the very place where total separation began in the concept of a Mechitza, and all goes back to the Kotel HaMaravi, and there you're going to have mixed pews. But it's more than that. For us as religious Jews, for us who have lived the miracle of rebirth of Israel, for us who have lived the miracle of the regeneration of Yiddishkeit, remember, I grew up in the Bronx, 700,000 Jews, find me 10 Shema Shabbos families. Look where we're at today. And this is the greatness of the Kotel, and there's so many stories like the one I'm going to tell in a second. Simple stories. Kids come to the Kotel with no background whatsoever. I know I taught so many, I know so many. So many are listening to this very shiur afterwards on YUTorah.org. And suddenly at the Kotel, they see davening. They never saw davening before. They see separation. And they start to ask, who am I? Where do I come from? And these kids, some of them become tzaddikim tahorim, shebemokam shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzaddikom ha'yachol la'amod, pshuto kamashma'o. And now you want to take that away too, that they should come to the Kotel and have the same Reform temple they have in Kalamazoo, Michigan. This is what Rabbi Riskin wants. Oh, it hurts. And this is Reb Moshe. It is the question. Now, halacha lemaisa, kol zman that Jews, Orthodox Jews, didn't have money, didn't contribute. And when I was growing up, there were very few Orthodox families that were well-to-do. There was the Bentheim family, remember? They were written up, Life magazine, Look magazine. There was the Fink family in Scranton. These were few and far between. Anyone who had money, the seminary, and more than the seminary, reform. Now, thank God, we've had a miracle of rebirth, rejuvenation. We Orthodox Jews are not any poorer than the non-Orthodox. If anything, we are wealthier. And the greatest example is the Five Towns Lawrence. Lawrence, people moved out. They were interviewed in the New York Times. We never dreamt a day would come when we would be looked down upon by our neighbors for driving on Shabbat. They moved further away to the Hamptons. The Hamptons, I can tell you from personal experience, because the rabbi there is my student and I've been there quite a few times. Oh, the enmity towards the Orthodox Jews, and then one man said it openly, they'll do into the Hamptons what they did in Lawrence. We don't want to feel second rate. All right, I don't believe it's going to happen in the Hamptons, but go to Lawrence today? Wow, where are you? What are you? The whole big Reformed temple there, today it's like a federation. I don't think there's a Reformed temple left at all. And they live on the catering that's glatt kosher in this former Reformed temple. But where do we draw the line? And it's a delicate balance. There's a dialectical tension. On one hand, we have to be decent. We have to be upright. We have to be nice. Keep the channels of communication open. On the other hand, we have to make clear, this is not Yiddishkeit, this is not Torah, this is not the way we can thrive, this is not the way we continue, this is not the way we can avoid intermarriage and assimilation. Now, you talk about federation, today Orthodox Jews give. We give, we have a say. And I don't say we can make every federation totally in conformity with the Va Hashem Zu Halacha, but we certainly can get more than we put in, exactly what Reb Moshe says. And bitter battles were fought. At one time, and this is should be written up, someone just sent me a letter that they contributed papers about their grandfather led a big battle for federations, support the day schools. Torah, Rabbi Revel was the first one to have the vision of day schools way beyond Yeshivas Rabiskal Hanan. But he got caught up with the Depression and the Hitler era, died in 1940, a young man yet. It wasn't for him to bring it to fruition, but Mr. Mendelovich, whatever he did, as I've said many times, nothing compares to Torah Umesorah. And Torah Umesorah, the day schools, the communities were bitter battles. Originally, the federations wouldn't look at them. Who's interested? You're raising kids to be greenhorns, to be makis, not to be able to speak a proper English, not to be integrated on the wonderful democratic American mutton scene. And today, after the battles began in the 60s, by the 80s, 70s, 80s, today federations, some federations, 80-90% of the day school budget supported by federations. It's just beyond words. But we contribute, we have a say, we have Balabatim involved. I know in Toronto, I know other communities where there's a beautiful relationship between the day schools and the federations. So what Reb Moshe says here, he raises a problem that in my humble opinion, there's no black and white guideline. You have to know the community, know the people, but the basic guiding principles have to be, on one hand, we're brothers and sisters. On the other hand, lo darki darcheichem velo machshevotai machshevoteichem. Now, I can tell you one story in this building. There's a Rabbi Schneider who teaches in Torah Shvaka. Rabbi Schneider is my student from the Kollel. So one time I get a call from him from Florida, from Boca, that Leil HaShvuot, he was invited to speak in the Reform Temple to explain what Torah is about as we understand it. Should he go? So I asked him, I said, are you going to speak on a panel with conservative Reform? And I said, no, I'm speaking Orthodox, Orthodox alone, speaking what Torah is about. I say, look, it sounds very good to me, but you have to ask your rabbi, because I can't paskin from Jerusalem for Boca. He says, my rabbi's the one who set me up. It was Rabbi Kenny Brander at the time. I said, your rabbi set you up. And it turned out that his going turned into a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. What does that mean? Nu, do you know the story? If you know Boca, it's like Lawrence. There are many areas where there are no sidewalks. Everyone has a car. Everyone goes on their horse donkey or their Cadillac or beyond. I don't know today. That's already not one of the top cars. I saw a Jaguar parked in the Rehov Chalapa is going to shul. I showed Professor Kami Horowitz. I said, you see that car? Ooh, a Jaguar. That must be half a million shekel or something. Who knows what? Wow. And so walking back from the temple Shavuos night, a police car saw him walking. They told him it's the rabbi, etc. He had a police car escort, all the Floridian papers, front page news, rabbi escorted by police, and they had to explain it was Shavuos, and the Torah can't ride, carried into a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But this was the Rav's position. It's very hard to delineate it, and each question that will come up, you have to understand where it's being asked, who the people are, what the community is. But there's no question. If we give money, we deserve a say. There's no taxes in a democracy without representation. Once we have a say, we have to demand more. It's not just the day school for Orthodox kids. Any kid can come to a day school. And today there's the realization that the day schools are very successful. They don't raise muckies and greenhorns and people who can't speak English. Some of the brightest people in the world are graduates of day schools. And we want our share. We want support. This is communal. This is important. This is Reb Moshe. But what a paragraph where he could have ended the tshuva. You have a federation. They have to give. You have to give. The individual has to give. And Reb Moshe, towards the end of the tshuva, raises a very, very serious problem. And I'll quote the Gemara to you. Because looking at the Gemara, where do we go from here? One second, where's the Gemara? Play this down. One second, let me just see what I'm... Here it is. Okay. Sanhedrin Samach Gimel Amid Bet. Arsali Adam Sheyasa Shutfut Im Ha'ove Kachavim Shem Yitchayev Lo Shvua V'nishpa v'avode kachavim shalo v'hatora amra lo yishma al picha. The pasuk in Shemot chaf gimel pasuk yud gimel. What are we talking about? That you can't do business shutafut with a Gentile, because you can get involved. People in business have machloket, controversy. It's part of the nature of the human being. I need not tell you what yours truly is suffering, that there will not be spring training this year. Right or wrong, Elliot? Ribbono shel Olam, it adds years to my life. 5 minutes every morning, I'm a kid again. And even that, I'm being denied because of millions and millions of dollars. Nothing is good enough. Nothing is good enough for them. What a tragedy. Money is not enough. Fighting over big. Ribbono Shalom, how much money does a human being need? And no spring. So you have a machlekes. You wind up going to court and you have to take an oath. And the minute you have to take an oath, the guy will swear on Avodah Zarah. And here, this is the whole concept that we Jews, is not just that we can't square on Avodah Zarah, but we can't cause others, we can't cause Avodah Zarah. I mean, it goes so far. I always used to argue with my wife. We would come to Maplewood, and when we passed the church, there was a church, a Protestant church, two blocks from our house. That's where we knew we had to turn into Suffolk Avenue, if my memory is correct. I lived on Suffolk Avenue. And there's the church. I say, no, don't use the church as a landmark. Don't say it. You remember? So Baruch Hashem, when we returned to Maplewood so many decades later just to see what's going on, the church is now the shul. That was the second home of the shul. Now the shul moved on to something very big and beautiful. But you can't, that you can't go out of your way to help people lo yishma al picha avayda zara. So you see an open gemara that you can't do business, you can't do shutafut with goyim. All right, let's look at the halacha for a second and let's see what Rav Moshe is saying. And here's a halacha that I don't know what happened, but there used to be a joke. I trust it's not true anymore in Lakewood, because Lakewood is so big, it's different. But at one time, Lakewood, when I learned in Lakewood, they were propagating the idea, once you can't go to college, you can't have a profession, you have to sit and learn. I don't have to tell you what went on in Eretz Yisrael. We still suffer until today that people don't go to college. Not everyone can be a Talmud Chacham, not everyone can be a Rebbe, not everyone can be a Dayan. And even if you are a Rebbe, Talmud Chacham, Rosh Yeshiva, could very well be you need college. It helps you, it enlightens you, it broadens you. You have to know what to take from college, etc. All right, to deal with a Walder, to deal with tragedies like that, you have to understand social workers, psychologists, sexologists, right down the line. But they used to say that in Lakewood, they never study Sefer Iyov. So I fell for the joke. I said, what do you mean? What's wrong with Sefer Iyov? All right, it's a depressing Sefer, but you have to study Kohelet too. Bikshu Chazal, because I wanted to ask Kohelet, right or wrong. And then they knew, no, it begins with you, it ends with you at Shemaim. So they told me, no, you can't study Sefer Iyov, because they may need an English translation. And they'll see in the English version, it says job, J-O-B. Shleimela, Hilchat Beit Knesset, Orech Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav, Sif Katan Aleph. Oh boy, somehow this, this is talking, you finished davening. Davening Kriyas HaTeira, Bichat Kahanim, you finished. Achakach, what do you do when you finish davening? Yeleich la'asakav. Mark, you go to work. Dechol Torah sheni mamalacha sofa b'teila ugoreret avon. Ki ha'oni ya'avirenu al dak kono. No, what do you say, Nathan? Work? Obligated. If you just sit and learn, not enough, then you wind up a batlan and you have no money and it causes strife and sin. Oniya virenu al dab kamo. Then the halacha should have said, mikoma komli asemalach to'ika ela arai v'torato keva v'zeh Yitkayeng biyadah. Oh, that's a beautiful halacha. Doesn't mean you stop learning. I don't, people say to me, well, I'm working. And I say, so you're working, so what? You have to have a start. You have to learn. Learning Talmud Torah keneged kulam. I don't have to tell you what learning I should. La asok asher kedushanu b'mitzvah tavitzivanu la asok b'divrei Torah. La asok. I remember the Mashkiach. Yitz Rabbi Rubin will remember this too. Mashkiach used to say, "Esek, we are business. We mean put business when." That learning Torah is like business, but you're not going to lose money. You're going to be organized. You're going to see that you make money. Learning Torah, see to it that you have time, that you learn, that you accomplish, that you do. It's a beautiful concept. La'asok b'divrei Torah. All right, there's a lot more to be said. I don't have to go into it now, but how come I made that bracha at 4:10 this morning, let's say. 4:10, okay? I made the bracha. No? Then I went to Davin. Then I came here, I ate something, and I looked at the post, and Ribbono Shel Olam, then I dealt with the Yomo, we answered emails, and then I looked to face the news, and I wanted to look at the Yankees, but there's nothing to look at, they're going to lock out, spring training won't begin on time. Ribbono Shel Olam, new Tosfos asked the question, tell me, Natan, you had bread at 7 o'clock this morning, you made a mozi. You had chveis, a different type of bread, at 12 noon, you made a mozi again. At 7 o'clock in the evening, you had pizza. And then teller bread, wow, what the bread they make here today. What a Gan Eden. You don't even start to understand. I used to go to Tel Aviv to the army, and I'd buy, there was a whole wheat bread. There were two different types, one green and one blue, the label. I'd bring it back home. Oh, it was my wife would go crazy with joy. It was worth my being in the army. Just today, the bread available. Oh, my. Go to Machne Yehuda. Wow. No. How come you make hamotzi three times in one day? And la'asok b'divrei Torah, you made in the morning and... boom! You never made it again. Even though you that's Tosfos. That we never, our subconscious is always involved with Torah. The lo yashne, even if we're working, we're doing, we're reading, we're commuting, but we're still, the Torah is the basis of our thought, our existence, our life, our gestalt, our demeanor. And that's what it's all about. This is the halacha. Wow. And he says, when you're in business, be an honest person. But then, va'over mishum lo yishama al picha. So you see, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara. If this is the case, how do you get involved with non-Jews, with Goyim, with Jews who don't believe? But look into the Ramah. The Ramah saves us. Yesh me killing be asiyat shutafot and kustim bisman hazeh mishum she'ein akutim bisman hazeh nishpa'im ba'aveda kal alilim. Today's Gentiles, they're different. They're not idol worshippers. You know, you can see idol worship, I'm told, in Japan, that they actually believe in idols, and there are other parts in Thailand, but the Western world, we don't have idol worships in that sense. And even the Ramah says, even the Maskirin of Avodah Zarah, even if they swear and they mention the Trinity, but their kavana is la'osei shemayim va'aretz. And they still believe in God. And it's an open halacha here that even if they take God and add something else, but he says, Harei einem mushadin al shituf, that it could be for a guy, there's no sin to believe in the Trinity. And Pipaskin Slahalacha, that you should be able to deal in business and make a partnership and make a shutafut, and Goyim and Jews can do business together. And he says, if this is the case with Goyim, certainly when it comes to communal matters and it comes to stucca and it involves being in partnership with other Jews, it is so important that lachatchila we should have gabayim who are shomrei Torah in mitzmat. But if we have gabayim who are not, you're involved in a federation, then we should try to see that everything is done in accordance with the halacha. And this comes back, whoever, mi sheyeshlo meya, yeshlo deya. It all comes back, if Orthodox Jews contribute and become part of the communal apparatus, they can have a say, they can control the input, and they can control the output. And this is what Reb Moshe Paskins l'halacha. And he says, at times we have to be involved and with non-Jews, we have to be involved with irreligious Jews. This is simply the reality of life. They're communal matters. We must come together. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, Reb Moshe Paskins, exactly like Reb Menashe Klein, but he throws in an added concept which comes basically towards the end of the tshuva, and the tshuva could have been over before this concept, but he comes to an added concept that halacha l'maisa federations raise the entire question. We're supporting a federation that part of the money goes for non-Torah courses, much worse, anti-Torah courses. And this translates to the Israeli scene. You pay taxes, it translates to the American scene. Where do you draw the line? At times you can't draw the line. And all we can say is, I once said this half seriously, this is the Shaila of Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. You follow? I hope that we can say Yesh Breira with Tzaddikim, that the money we gave went to hospitals, went to shuls, went to mikvot. It's not the money that went to the reform, that not the money that went to no parent, no man, no woman, etc., etc. Okay, we should have a skut and we should be zeicha that we can say Yesh Breira. All right, let me go one drop further on this very same topic. And here I wish every future rabbi who's going to go into the rabbinate should hear this tshuva and hear what Reb Menashe Klein close. Okay. One second, I just want to see that Barak Beder, who was showing me the baby before with his wife. Okay, now I pick it up. Okay, Tiskula Torah Latorah Lechup LeMaisim Tovim, and I hope he understands the Sheyua. Fine here, considering the Yichus in the family, that baby should be able to understand the Sheyua already. Okay, Mishnah Halachot in a much later volume, Chelek Tet Zayin. Siman Samech Chet. I repeat, Tet Zayin, Siman Samech Chet. And this chiv is written much later in the year 2000. And it's exactly the same question that people collect money and they're now requiring him to go to the Rav HaYir or to Ezevat HaYir and they have to decide in who ani amiti or rak lishlish l'ravi. I'm quoting Rav Menashe Klein. He has a sense of humor. Is he really poor, or is he a third poor, a quarter poor? How much money does he have? How much money does he need? And they have to decide. And if they say he's legitimate, emet, then he gets a tudah with his picture that he can't falsify it. And lizman mukbal, it's for limited time. And afterwards, he can collect, and this is the way he will be able to collect in this community. And the poor people, tsoakim, chamas, are yelling and shouting, bizayon, we're being embarrassed, that we have to go and we have to get a picture. And now he says the poor people are complaining. Expense involved. What's the expense involved? Today, I don't think there's expense already. You have to take a picture. You have to go to a photographer. So right away, there is expense involved. But more than that, he has to come and prove his case. He has to bring pictures of his children, his wife, the problems. They have to dress up for the pictures. All this is expense, all this is money. And then he says, it's so embarrassing, and I believe this is the first time ever. Yomo, check it out on the Bar Ilan Project. The first time ever in responsible literature, the word Shnara appears. That they have to decide if he's what we call Belaz in English, I don't know, in the secular language, Shnara Belaz, Mekabetz Nedavot, and is he embarrassed? Then they have to show them that he can't marry off his children unless he has money. And who knows what the people will do. They'll say, we married off children, we paid for weddings, we paid for apartments. Who are you? Go to work. Get a job. By the way, at times it's very hurtful. People come to you, and I know I had a number of times, they're crippled by the fact they weren't allowed to go to college, weren't allowed to have panasa. You don't know what a debt of gratitude I owe to YU, I owe to my Rebbe, I owe to the Rav. We never had that tension. It was so natural. You went to yeshiva, you went to high school. You went to yeshiva, you went to graduate school. Yeshiva college, you went to college. You went to yeshiva, you went to graduate school. It was so natural. But sometimes you see people in their 30s, their 40s, good people, capable people, but life never worked out for them. They couldn't be rabbin, couldn't be rabbis, couldn't be dayanim, etc. And you feel so bad. And you know, when someone has to get a tudah, I remember I told the kid on the coast, he came, he was in his mid-20s, I said, go to college, go to college. I know one kid who came to Israel, Baal Tshuva, he went back to America and he went to college and he remained frum. That's what I have to give credit, because when people go through these crises, you don't know what's going to happen to them afterwards. And here the schnurrer, and they're going to decide, does he need, doesn't he need, can he, can't he? People will shout at him, go to work, why are you a schnurrer? Why are you collecting? And then there are other problems. How do you know he's honest? They're going to look at what he's bringing from Israel. All these letters that in the name of Rabbanim, you know, all the forgeries that go on. And all this has to be checked out. And Rav Menashe Klein refers to the previous tshuva, and he says, look, we can never be certain. Could very well be the man is a faker. Could very well be he's collecting and he has money. It could very well be he's collecting and he's not as bad off as he is. But he quotes the Gemara, we quoted 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that Gedole Amorayim threw themselves into ovens, that the people shouldn't see who's giving them the tzedakah. And other Amorai said, thank God they're fakers among us, because otherwise God could be very angry with us. Why did you only give the guy 10 shekel? You should have given him 100 shekel. So at least we can say there are fakers among us. And here, Reb Menashe Klein quotes a well-known pasuk, and quote the pasuk, Devarim Aleph Pasuk Yod Gimel, where Moshe Rabbeinu in his farewell speech is telling the Jews, Havel Lechem Anashim Chachamim Unabonim V'yaduim L'shifteichem V'asimam B'roshaychem. Pick out good people, wise, intelligent, all right, that we can understand. V'yaduim L'shifteichem, that the tribe knows the person? What does that have to do with being a judge? What does that have to do with being a leader? Wise, intelligent, I can understand. Yidum l'shifteichem? And Reb Menashe Klein quotes Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Midrashim. Yidum l'shifteichem? Shehein nikarim lechem. Shimbola fanai mutav betalito eini yodeya mihu. Mi'eisa shevet hu. V'yim hagun hu. Avol atem makirim bo shatem gidaltem oto. L'chein ema v'yadum l'shifteichem. Boy, is there a lot of common sense in this Rashi. Natan Bauer can dress up. He can get a phony beard and pay us. Get a Strimer. What's the problem? I hate to tell you this. One Purim, until my father died, I used to dress up every Purim. Afterwards, I just couldn't do it anymore. It's a fault in me. But shouldn't you should, if you dress up, you dress up afterwards too. But one Purim, I knocked on my parents' door in Givat Mordechai, the apartment I bought them. The apartment still in, now belongs to my eldest grandson and big family that he has, Kanayin Hara. And I had a phony beard on. And I was dressed like a rabbi. It's Purim, you're allowed to. I had my Hamburg that I used to wear at the funerals when the FBI would walk in. They were photographing. I think Balabatan were gangsters among them, funerals. And they're taking pictures. I said, gentlemen, I'm only the rabbi. I'm officiating. I have to take my picture. You should do call you have such covered boy, a rabbi. And they didn't know what to do. The sea parted for me, you understand? Not among Jews, among Goyim. But I dressed up. I knocked on the door. My father didn't recognize me. He looked at me. He said, who is it? Who is it? It's your son, your eldest son. But this Rashi is so powerful. No, everyone can know if you're smart or not. It's no big deal. I mean, a guy gets up and gives a lecture. You know my butt. You know right away if the guy knows. I always say when people walk out there, who's so terrific. So that means they don't understand one word. It means doesn't have a lecture. You can know nobody. You got to know how to lecture. Fine, good. But no one knows who you really are. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, this is Mishnah Lach, it said, Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't tell if you're legitimate or not. You can be a Ramay, you can fake him out. There's a thousand and one ways. I remember I once was involved in a scandal. They want me to see someone. A guy was defrauded, lost his license. Money, money, money. So the guy heard I was coming to see him. I walk in, he's sitting there with a Gemara learning, you follow? Wow, but I was smart enough already. I wasn't a kid. I knew this guy was some faker. So that's what you do him. That's the pshat. So what Reb Menashe Klein is saying, so let's assume 50% of these guys going around are fakers. Let's assume they're panhandlers. But this is stucker. Use common sense. If you feel he's not legitimate, so you don't give him $100. You give him $18. You have to use seichel here. But to go and force the people to get accreditation, no, that's not right. And let me end off the class here. He's very powerful here. He takes Eliezer, Eved Avraham, and Rivka. And he says, you see, to be a good person means to look beyond the reality. I could very well say, why should I help you? Why didn't you go to college? Why didn't you, as smart as I am, as much a native ability as I did? Why? No. You have to be a Baalstucker. This is the reality. We have to help. We have to do. All right. Rivka. She sees Eliezer. And he dramatizes it. She's all of 3 years old. Eliezer, tall, good looking, handsome. So many camels with him. If he has so many camels with him, that means he has all these servants that are helping him. You are asking for water? Hakmiyani? What are you, crippled? She should have looked at him and said, what are you, out of your mind? I'm a little girl, weak. How much strength do I have? You're young, you're strong. Look at all the help you have. Ask them to get the water. What are you bothering me? And she? Just the opposite. Not only did she bring him water, Gam Gamalech, all the camels. Wow. Very powerful. We have to be like Rivka. People are asking. Don't start making cheshbonah. Don't look at what you may be absolutely right. The reality says something else. You may be absolutely right. But this is your chance to do tzedakah, to be decent, to be upright, to be gomel chesed. We want the Ribbono Shel Olam to be gomel chesed with us. Well, let's set the example. Wow, powerful. And that's why he chose Rivka. And then he heads on, and this is something I've often dashed about, particularly, you know, you want to encourage Balabatim when I was in the rabbinate, you know, you're making an appeal. He compares Rivka to Ephron Hachiti. Look at Ephron Hachiti. Just think for a minute. Bani Shalalim promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. Now he wants to bury Sarah. Avraham Avinu is world famous. Avraham Avinu has done miracles. He and Sarah, all the nefashet that they brought to Yiddishkeit. Avraham megayeret anashim, the Sarah megayeret anashim. I'm paraphrasing the Midrashim. And he says, Beni Ubencha Amanki, take the land. And ultimately, he did absolutely nothing, gave nothing. Got, what was it, 400 shekel, Over le socher. Underline the words Over le socher. All right. You've learned sugyas in Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, coins. they wear down, they wear out. New kings, they're devalued, they're not accepted. He was makpid, absolutely over lasocher, the best type of coins imaginable, and a big sum of money. Look at Rivka, look at Ephron Hachiti. Ephron Hachiti, big promises, did nothing. Where's the tztaka? Where's the gemilat chesed? Where's the hitchashvut b'Avraham Avinu? Look at Rivka. She could have easily walked away and said, I should bend down, I should work. I'm a little girl. Where do I have strength? Where do I have energy to do this? You're tall, you're handsome, you're strong, you're in the prime of life. Look at all your servants around you. Mikomakom, I'm quoting Reb Menashe Klein, Tovet ayin shela nishali olam ulekein zachta biyemet liyot iman shel Yisrael. Rivka, tovet ayin, a good eye, an understanding eye, an eye filled with chesed and rachamim, she became iman shel Yisrael. And Ephron Hachiti, all the Dashanim can maledict him as long as Dashanim will walk the face of the earth, promised a lot and did nothing. Okay. Well, so far, this is Reb Menashe Klein. People around, all right, they may be partially fakers. I told you the story with Lawrence and the tennis court. And the Noam Elimelech under his arm, it may be a partial fake. But you have to be a tzaddik. You have to be a gomel chesed. We don't need certificates. You give. Give in accordance with your understanding. Echad hamabed, echad hamabed, bilvad sheyechaven libo lashamayim. Now, in this tshuva, he goes one step further, and you will be amazed. One of the great later period Rishonim of the German community, the Maharim Minz, from Yehuda Minz, the famous Minz family. And by the way, whenever you meet a Minz today, the chances are that they're descended from the Minz family, the Gedolei Rishonim from the Ashkenazic world. A good deal of the Ramah goes back to the Psakim of the Marimi Minz. And you'll be amazed. The problems we have today, no different than what they had 1,000 years ago. And the Jew of today, no different than the Jew of 1,000 years ago. And you'll see with the... I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this tshuva. And it's quoted in length, but I went, thanks to Yomo, I went to the original tshuva of the Marim Minz, which he quotes, and you'll see the exact thinking of Balabatim. Eliot, why do I need a yeshiva? My kids are all older. Why do I need a mikveh? My wife is past menopause. Unbelievable. 1,000 years ago, exactly words I heard in the rabbinate in the 20th century. Wow. And you'll see, it's the whole question with staka. Exactly the same. Satna di arachadhu. As much as we advance in the world, as much as the computers have taken over our lives and cars without drivers, the human being remains exactly the same. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll see the Mari Mintz, we'll see on this topic, we still have a little bit more to go, and then we move on to Rav Menashe Klein and a topic that we still suffer with in the year 2023, the topic of, is Aaron Rakefet allowed to shave? Gentlemen, a serious topic. Mark Wiener, what's the name of your namesake? Rabbi Wiener, Moshe Wiener, right? You see his letters to me? Wait till I show you what I have uncovered. And I asked my Talmud in Coney Island, who's doing great things, forgive your Rebbe for citing sources that may disagree with you. Gentlemen, to reiterate, what did we do today? First of all, I apologize to everyone, but thank God the problem was not with the internet, but with Gruss and a decision made in the early 70s not to put air conditioning into the building. You have no idea how much we suffer until today. Thank God we're back online. What did we do? Well, we dealt with the Federation. We touched upon a problem that Rav Moshe raises, a problem that really haunts us. Where do we draw the line? Rabbi Riskin is entitled to his opinion, but I'm also entitled to my opinion. It's a problem that's come under fore the Israeli scene. You deal today with Beit Hillel, with Soha, with the Haredi Dati Lumi Rabbinate, the Haredi Rabbinate. It's a problem that haunts all of us. Where do we draw the line? Not a black and white answer. If you say, don't talk to Reform conservative Jews, have nothing to do with them, pull out of the Gemeinde, that's the easy approach, because then you have a more or less black and white answer. But if you say we got to keep the channels of communication open and yet keep our self-respect as Torah Jews, there already you're coming into a gray area. Where do you draw the line? And this is Reb Moshe. And even Reb Moshe, look at the tshuva. You see, Reb Moshe, there's hilchata the meshichata, but there's reality. He says, like with the goyim, with the swearing, the Ramah we quoted, the Shulchan Aruch we quoted, there's a reality. And you'll see Reb Moshe says it even more clearly than I'm quoting him. But the question is a wonderful question. But halacha lemaisa, let the Federation give, the individual Jew still has to give too. But you can give less if you know the Federation is giving more, which is dumb halacha lemaisa, as we'll see next week as well. We then went one step further with Reb Menashe Klein. And the whole question of the cards again, the tudot again, and for the first time ever, the word shnura has officially found itself in rabbinic literature. Are there any questions from the erudite men sitting in front of me? Okay, I want to say to you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I wouldn't miss the shift. Anything in the world, we are going back in time. And I'm raising a different question. The Satmara, that's what he thinks, that's what he did, that's what he changed, that's what he innovated, that's what he brought in to America. How did the other from Jews react to the Satmara? And we begin that topic, we're living it. And then we're going to walk the streets of Williamsburg before Satma and after Satma. And what fascinating sources. So that's Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow at 9 until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya. Rabbi Wiener, open it up to the public at large. Open. Is it open?
Yeah.
Are there any questions from around the world?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Mark? You mentioned Zilzel with Kohelet when everybody's reading it quickly. And they link through it. And you said the Kishkov can also create a zilzul with Haftarah. This is not a criticism, but Lanias Daiti creates a problem in the shuls that read Haftarah from Klaf. If you read from Klaf, you can be motzi others without their reading along. But the boys growing up in those shuls do not learn the ability to lay a Haftarah. And often never learn it later, and if they do, they don't learn it as well. Certainly not well enough to do it off the cuff. And you can't rely on children that age doing these parts of Shnayim Bikur either. Even if they have the boys occasionally get mafter and prepare it, they don't do it as often as they would otherwise, and it's only two or three boys who do it. When I was young, long before I was doing Shnayim Mikra, it's only because my grandfather had me go over the Haftarah every week, and as a result, I was able to develop a familiarity with them.
Yeah,
none of the shuls I got in those days read Haftarah from Klaf. I didn't even know about it in those days. Trying to be machmir from Klaf, but it has a serious effect.
Yeah, but even where you lay in from a Tanakh, you lay in. I never yet saw that everyone reads the Haftarah together. What you're saying is a kid should read the Haftarah. But I don't know, the Haftarah, you make the bracha, you read it, a kid listens, he'll pick up something. But what you're saying that I don't know, is this widespread in all Hasidic shuls that they lay in as a tzibur? I don't know. Have I ever davened the...
Even if they don't, they're more likely to give the maftar and lay it themselves, whereas a shul that lays it from klaf, unless they prepare it specifically before...
Oh, I see what you're saying, Dan. In a shul you're laying from klaf, it's always the Baal Kore. All I can tell you is, in Oel Rivka today, the Baal Kore is my own student, Dovi Fisher, and he's a fabulous Baal Kore, and he lays the Torah, then he lays the Haftarah from the klaf. I hear what you're saying. So I hear what you're saying. Okay.
The other point is you've said that it's funny. You've said that you can curse in Ivrit and learn Torah at the same time.
Right, of
you
course.
You have colloquial expressions that have crept into everyday speech, like for small letters and large letters, Otiot Shel Tavu Matar, Otiot Shel Kiddush Levana. You have songs like Adam B'Toch Atzmo that have expressions contained in them like Adam Korov Etzal Atzmo. But the reason I mention this is that you mentioned that Ruby Gross paid 6/7 of the tax. So I have to tell you, if people remember, there used to be an ad on the radio for paying the Machsit Hashniya Shel Agrat HaRadio VaTelevizia. And the slogan they used in the ad was HaMatchil B'Mitzvah Omrim Lo Gmar.
Very interesting. I don't recall that, but you mean on the Israeli radio they used that?
Hamatkil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. That was the slogan in the ad.
Uh-huh. All right. All I can tell you is that I was very happy when they abolished the tax, because a lot of people brought in televisions, never declared it, then the government would say they're going around and they're screening the houses, you know, they used to scare you. We'll find out whether or not you have a television. Now we all, it's all equal. In other words, Baruch Hashem, the government covers it. In an ideal world, what I would love to see, and I mentioned that last time, and maybe you should fight for it as you live in Israel, the government should pay for all kashrut. The whole concept of paying for hashkacha should be abolished. And if you want a kosher restaurant, you own the restaurant, you turn to the Mishrat HaDatot, and they send you a mashkiach, and it would provide panasa for many yeshiva people who are not trained in universities, because I'm not foolish enough to think that overnight everyone from Panovich and elsewhere are going to go to university and become MDs and PhDs and whatnot. But that's my dream. And Baruch Hashem, they cover the television, they cover the radio, they can cover the kosher eateries. Wow, would that be a step forward? But all right, we have other problems. Let's get rid of the corona, and we should go mechayil el chayil. I don't have to list out for you all the challenges that await us on a public level. And above all, take a look in the Tanyo, take a look what's happening, take a look how they what they did to these people to become Edei Medina, and then to use this illegal method of entrapping people. I don't know, let's see what's going to happen with the judges. Are they going to throw the case out or continue? And I can tell you on another level, I just asked my daughter yesterday, she came over Shabbat, I asked her, what's new with the Dayanim? She said, absolutely nothing. So you see, justice turns very slowly here. And I want to thank a young man named Barak, just came off the screen and into class. I saw you on there, and now I see you live. I've become a believer that the people on the screen are real. My dear Talmidim and friends and colleagues, I want to thank you very much for your kind participation. And yes, when I mentioned the Klaus, I meant Harav Dr. Yosef Tzvi Klausner. He advertised his name, but it is Yedidja, I think, Yedidja. But that's who I meant, Ira, absolutely. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. See you all tomorrow morning, Be'ezrat Hashem, at 9 a.m. Bruchim to you, Bruchim to you, Bruchim to you, Bruchim to you.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Rebbe, you didn't, I don't know if you were alluding to this, but it blew up over the whole weekend that Rebbe Melamed, you know, the whole thing started that he was on a Zoom call with the Reform Rabbi.
Right, I know.
Look what they're doing to him now.
It's, no, I know. He quoted the Rebbe's relationship with Rabbi Shubau. So later when I found out who Rabbi Shubau's grandchildren and great-grandchildren are, I got in touch. His assistant is an American, knows me, he's an American, he listens to my shirim, whatever. So I let them know that Baruch Hashem, look at the good that came out of the Rav's connection with Rabbi Shubau. On the other hand, you have to understand, the Rav was very solid. When the conservative temple honored Rabbi Shubau, the Rav said he can't come into the conservative temple. It would give them a sense of certification. So that dialectical tension was right there. Rabbi Shubau is one thing, but to go into the temple is another. Right? This is what I feel should be the only point of view. But halacha lemaisa, it's difficult because you can't say to someone, do this, don't do this. Every individual question has to be decided in accordance with your understanding and who is asking it, when they're asking it, where they're asking it, what the implications will be. It's not simple. But all right, Baruch Hashem, we've come this far, we'll go further. Okay. I want to thank Rabbi Wiener and Yomo for handling all the technical matters. Okay.